Let's get started. Good evening to you all. Thank you for coming. I guess I'll start by saying that I know the real reason why all of you are here, and it's not really to hear what you're not allowed to say. You all want to hear what you are allowed to say, where the exceptions are, where you're allowed to talk about people for all sorts of various reasons. That's my interest as well. But unfortunately, the reality is in order to get to that, we're going to have to deal with all the other stuff first. So I don't know if it was clear in the flyer or not, but this is going to be a short series. It's impossible to even pretend to get in all the halachos of anything, particularly Lashon Hara, into one little hour session. I'm guessing about three, depending on how it goes tonight, maybe two, maybe four, but somewhere around there as far as how long this will go. Tonight is mostly going to be the definition of things that you can't do. And then next week, Mirsa Hashem, we'll get to all of you. There are many, many exceptions and many, many places where you are allowed to speak about certain things to certain people, and we'll get to all of that, Mirsa Hashem, most likely next week. That being said, we all grew up with the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me, or however exactly it goes. And I think anyone who's gotten older than the kindergartner to whom that's been said has experienced that really is not true at all. It's a horrible little phrase, and I'm not sure who came up with it. But broken bones heal. Words, hurtful words, take a lifetime to get past. They stick with us. They affect us. They affect our psyche. They affect our self-esteem. There's no more powerful a tool we have than the words that we use. As the Chumash just last week, when we read, describes the creation of man, the man became a living being, and the Targum Unculus translates that as he became a speaking being. He became a person who's able to speak. It defines us as a human. It's a very, very powerful tool, our ability to speak, and Torah recognizes that with the many, many halachas which we will learn about, defining, making us sensitive to the word, the way, and the words we choose to speak with, because it has an effect on people, has an effect on ourselves. So what I wanted to do with that little brief introduction is we'll go through the sources starting from the Chumash, from the Pesukim we have on the way down, and then we will work through what we have to learn about the halachas of Lashon Hara. The two places that the Torah discusses explicitly the concept of prohibition of Lashon Hara. The first, there in the beginning of your sheet, is the pasuk in Vayikra. The pasuk says, "Lo seilech rochil va'amecha." You're not allowed to go. Lo seilech is a rochil. Rochil is a difficult word. It's translated as, the article translates it here as, a gossip monger. The real meaning, the literal meaning of the word rachil is a peddler. And Rashi describes that the meaning of this pasuk literally would mean, do not be a peddler amongst your people. And what that means to do, Rashi says, is where you peddle information. You go along to one person and you find out what's going on over there, and then you go over to the next person and you say, oh, you're never going to believe what I heard about this person and what I heard about that person, and you sort of make your rounds peddling your wares. Except you're not selling goods, you're selling stories and juicy pieces of gossip. And that's what the word rachil, which develops from the meaning of a peddler, Rashi describes comes to mean a gossip monger, one who goes around talking about other people. You have an explicit verse in the Torah, not to be a gossip monger. Chazal, the sages, understand from this pasuk, it includes all forms of Lashon Hara, as we generally refer to it. Lashon Hara has a general meaning, and then it has a specific meaning, which we'll get to. But the general meaning of Lashon Hara, all sorts of evil talk about other people are included within this pasuk. There's a second pasuk, which is in Shemos, Lo Sisa Shema Shav, which literally means not to accept a false report. The literal derivation of this pasuk is referring to a judge, prohibiting a judge from hearing the case of one of the litigants not in the presence of the other litigant. So now if I'm judging of a certain case and one guy shows up late, I'm not allowed to listen to the first guy's claim if the other guy's not there to defend it. Because if I'm listening to only one person and the other one's not even there, by definition, he's not as bound to say exactly the way that it happened because no one's there to hear him. He knows that the judge becomes affected by the way that he heard it, and therefore the Torah says a prohibition. You're not allowed to accept any report, and it defines it almost as a false report, not in the presence of anybody of the other party. And again, the sages understand from here, Rashi quotes it as well, an alternate meaning, not just referring to a judge, it refers to any human being accepting any false report from anybody, or even if it's a true report, we'll find out, This is the source of the prohibition of accepting that report. So you have one verse which describes the prohibition of telling over what we'll define as Lashon Hara, and then you have a second verse describing the prohibition of hearing and accepting that report. And we will define both of those more as we go along. I brought a couple of psukim, I just translated them into English. The Chofetz Chaim is famous for making Lashon Hara his pedestal upon which he stood, his platform. And he writes in his introduction that besides for these two verses, which one violates when he speaks Lashon Hara, and he lists all the other violations, and he comes to the conclusion that there are 17 lo ta'aseh, 17 negative prohibitions, and 14 aseis, 14 positive commandments, which one is in violation of almost every time that he speaks Lashon Hara. Some of them are not all 31, sometimes you only knock off 27, sometimes you hit 15, sometimes you hit all 30. But he lists 31 possible violations that go into when a person says Lashon Hara, what he's doing wrong. Aside from these two main terms, I just brought a couple of here. He defines one as Zachor al tishkach es asher asa leMiriam. There's a pasuk which says, don't forget that which took place to Miriam. Miriam, who of course spoke Lashon Hara against her brother Moshe, when Moshe had separated from his wife, and she was struck with Sara'at, and the whole camp had to wait for her for 7 days. So the Torah says, remember what happened to her. Remember what took place in the desert when Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. So one who speaks Lashon Hara is in violation of that. He quotes, Pen tishkach as Hashem alokecha, lest you come to forget Hashem alokecha. And obviously someone who's speaking Lashon Hara, who has put himself in the position that, well, I can talk about anybody else without worry that there's somebody else watching me, you've obviously violated that. V'yahavta l'recha kamocha, you're in violation of. There's a series of 11 curses which are described in the Torah. What are the 11 curses? Are Arur makere ehu b'seiser. Cursed is one who literally strikes or does something damaging to his friend b'seiser in a hidden way so his friend doesn't know. It's one thing if I walk up to you and strike you in the face, and it's another thing if you don't know what I'm doing and I'm causing you damage. So the Torah has a curse against such a person, which the Chofetz Chaim brings, you're also in violation of that by speaking Lashon Hara and so on. I don't want to go through all of them. He lists 31 prohibitions which are possible to violate regularly upon speaking Lashon Hara, aside for these two main ones. All that is, Rifki made it very clear, and he said, don't sit there and speak about why not to speak Lashon Hara, for everybody knows that's why you're all here. That part we know. Point is, I guess, that the halacha is exactly what defines it. But that's the brief introduction as far as what's out there. We'll speak about some of them more as we go along with the definitions. Okay, now the bulk of what I want to do tonight is section 2 of the definitions. We find in the Gemara, in Chazal, in the statements of the sages, what is it, 4, 5, 7 different terms for Lashon Hara that they use to define different elements of Lashon Hara, different ways of speaking. And I just want to spend some time defining what they are. These are the main prohibitions, the things that we can't do. And then as we go along at the end of the night tonight, and next week also, depending on which category it is that one is doing, will depend on the type of circumstances in which we will permit certain types of Lashon Hara under other circumstances. But the first thing that we need to do is simply just define what exactly it is. Let me just throw in one more point, actually, before I begin that. I just want to mention the Chofetz Chaim concludes his introduction with the following thought. He says, how could it be that we're sitting here in the exile for so long? How is it possible it's over 2,000 years that we're still in the exile? And what he does is he says, if you trace the beginning of our exile as a Jewish people until today, you will find at the core, Lashon Hara rests at the center of it from the beginning until now. The very beginning of our sojourn into Egypt began with Yosef and his brothers, in which they eventually sold him, and he ends up in Mitzrayim. That whole story began, as the Torah says, "Vayaveh Yosef es dibasam ro'ah el avihem." Yosef brought the evil reports about what his brothers were doing. He spoke Lashon Hara to his father about his brothers, and that really began the process of their hatred towards him, followed up, of course, by the Jews. But at the core, at the center of our exile into Egypt was Lashon Hara. When Moshe first meets the Jewish people and he goes out and he strikes the Mitzri who was beating up on the Jew, and then he finds two Jews fighting, Dathan and Aviram, and he tries to break up their fight, and they say to him, are you going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri? And Moshe says, Achein noidah hadavar, I see now the matter is known. Rashi says the simple meaning is Moshe saying, I see the matter is known that I have killed the Mitzri and everybody knows about it. Rashi quotes, what Moshe really was saying is, now the matter is known why the Jews have been in exile for so long, because they speak poorly about each other, they rattle on each other. And therefore I see this is what's going on. Now I understand, Moshe says, why the exile has lasted so long in Egypt. And the Chofetz Chaim traces through, of course, also to the in the desert, the reason why we didn't go out to Eretz Yisrael right away is when the spies came back with their evil report, it was decreed upon us 40 years in the desert, and we're still suffering from that as well, in which they spoke Lashon Hara against the land of Israel. And the Chofetz Chaim concludes, the Gemara says the second base of Mikdash was destroyed because of sin of Chinam. And the root of the hatred, he says, is certainly involved in Lashon Hara. And he says, part of the reason why we haven't been redeemed is because what we need to be redeemed is our prayers. And he quotes a Zohar that says that when a person sullies his language with Lashon Hara, so then all the words that come out of his mouth are weighted down. All the words that come out of his mouth are darkened and impure. And all the tefillah, all the davening that he does, all the praying, all the studying that he may do, the words don't make it up to heaven. They're sort of like with iron weights on them. They come out of your mouth, and instead of ascending up to the heavens, they're so sullied and darkened with the impurities that you have put upon your mouth that the words sort of drop to the floor and the prayers are never heard, so to speak. So the Chofetz Chaim says, we're sitting in the exile for so long, all of our prayers, all of our learning, all of the davening, because we haven't yet rectified the main problem which has been with us from the very beginning of our exile until today, and that is the problem of the way that we speak. And in order to allow our prayers to ascend and to purify them, we need to be well versed in these laws, which hopefully we will be. Okay, back to our definition. So the first definition is Lashon Hara. And again, we use colloquially the word Lashon Hara to just refer to everything. Similarly, we say the word treif. You talk about a potato chip and you say, oh, that's treif, or soda is treif. Treif means a hole in the lung. That's what the word treif means. It's defining an animal which is not valid because when it was slaughtered and they checked the lungs, there was a blemish in the lung. It had a hole. That defines the word treif. And we use the word treif just to mean anything non-kosher has become treif. So similarly, we use the word Lashon Hara to define anything that's problematic. Any type of forbidden speech, we just say Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara. So Lashon Hara actually has a specific meaning, just like the word treif does. And so that's our first definition, is the word Lashon Hara. Now that is the most basic of all the problems. That is speaking negatively, disparagingly, or in a damaging way about somebody else. So that I'm speaking to person A, and I'm speaking about person B. That's the strict definition of Lashon Hara. And it can be any one of the following examples. The person is cold-hearted, the person is obnoxious, the person is stubborn, lazy, self-centered. I don't think I need to go on. We could all fill in the list however we would like. All of those wonderful adjectives that we like to define our family and friends. That is the primary definition of Lashon Hara, in which one speaks negatively about somebody else. Now, it doesn't only have to be negatively or disparagingly, as it most of the time is, in which I'm saying something in a derogatory way. I say it in a way in which I mean to say something that gets under the... I usually, when we speak Lashon Hara, the reason why it's so geschmack, it's so much fun to be involved in, is because there's something that we're born with, and we just enjoy sitting and chattering about other people's shortcomings and other people's, you know, the things that they do wrong and the things that they messed up. Sometimes it makes us feel better, like, look, they're also bad. Sometimes it makes us feel better because we must be better than them, that they did this, and sometimes it's just a nice way to spend the time. But whatever it is, at the core of defining the term Lashon Hara, that term is always used in terms of where it's about somebody else. And it's in a disparaging way, it's in a negative way. Now, the third thing that I put on that list is in a damaging way. And what I mean by that is it doesn't have to be with a negative connotation, in which I'm saying it in that way that we normally view it. For example, in example number B, he says he tries so hard, but he's just unproductive. Now, that could be said in a very mean way, but sometimes it's not. It's just a matter of, I'm stating it as a fact, not to a potential employee or employer who might look to be hiring this person. I'm just stating it, you know, yeah, it really tries hard. He's just not very good at whatever it is that he's doing. So, which is going to be damaging to the person in the long run if you're not speaking again to a potential employer. And I'm going to state that right here, and that's going to go for everything that we're going to say tonight. Remember, there are major exceptions. There are times in which we need to protect ourselves. There are times in which we need to protect others. There are times in which we need to get information out. So we're going to get to all those. What we're doing now is just defining, before we get to the exceptions, what the problems are. So something which is going to be damaging to a person, even though it's not necessarily negative in the sense of being disparaging to them, if it's defined as a negative thing which will affect them in an adverse way, or it's negative about them, all that is going to be included within Lashon Hara. Yeah?
One question. Is it really something that we're born with, or is it something that's just a product of our upbringing and our society around us? Because I think that's really what the friend trying to say, because he grew up where his mother never did it, and that's why he never did it. And then he realized what was going around.
Yeah, but how do you know that he didn't desire to do it and overcome that?
Is that in the introduction?
I don't know, he doesn't write how, I don't know what his struggles were. I don't know. I feel comfortable saying we're pretty much born with it because I've seen little children do it and they...
Everybody is a product of their upbringing.
All right, so it could be. I don't know. I don't think it, you know, either way. Yeah, we live in an environment where we got it.
Yeah.
So whether or not it's because of our parents' fault and we'll throw one more thing on our parents.
No, I'm not
society, well, either way. It could be. Bottom line is, I think the reality of the existence that we all live in is there's something which is very geschmack about sitting and talking about Lashon Hara. Something that when you hear somebody sitting two seats away from you and they're talking about somebody else, it is really hard not to want to know what they're saying. There's just a pull that says, I want to know. I just want to be in the know, and I want to know about that person. I want to have something up on whatever it is. There's just something that we got that makes it really enjoyable. And if it wouldn't be enjoyable, none of you would be sitting here right now because it wouldn't be an issue. It's just like, what's the big deal? Like putting my hand in a fire is not enjoyable, so I don't need to teach halachas about not hurting yourself. But
right.
This is something that you do. Yeah. Okay, we'll get to some cases. Yes, we'll get to that tonight. We'll get to that. Generally, no. Generally, it's okay. We will get to some examples where it will be. Yeah.
Can I just say something?
Sure.
So, I don't think that it could possibly be anything that a person or people in general would know if you're born with. Because Lashon Hara is coming from speech and it's an emotional thing that people do. So, it's not in DNA. It's not in like biology that you can dissect. Are we born with it? But it exists.
It is a definite Yetzer Hara. Okay, point number two, just moving on. The most important point about the halachas of Lashon Hara is number two, it's true. Lashon Hara only applies when that which you are saying is true. You are stating a fact which is indisputable. It has happened. The person really is unproductive, or the person really is obnoxious, or they really are stubborn, cold-hearted, self-centered, whatever. They really are. That's when the Torah says you're not allowed to then say that to somebody else. So that there's some misconception which has somehow gotten into the some people's thought processes. But if it's true, no. That's when we're talking. We are strictly speaking about a circumstance if it's true. If it's not true, it's another problem which we'll talk about in a few minutes. Now, just to throw in a halacha or two, just at this point. You know, it doesn't matter, and this is sometimes a parent or a teacher wants to ask you about something else, or one will suffer financially or emotionally because you're in a group, and maybe your boss wants you to know about something, or friends, you're in a group. Sometimes it's difficult not to get involved in the conversation. It's difficult not to share something, especially if it's with a parent or with a teacher. And again, I say parents and teachers specifically. There are times when that's necessary, and we will get to all of them. But there are times when it's not necessary. There are times... I know every time I speak with my parents, it's just, so what's going on in the community? What's going on at home? What's going on with this? It's just a way of communicating. And it's really hard when there's no particular benefit for my parents knowing what it is that's going on. So then there's no, it doesn't matter if they're my parents, if there's a kibud av ve'em issue, or there's, if you cannot, as we will learn next week most likely, a specific reason why it is that you are saying it for someone's benefit, and it doesn't matter who it is that wants to know, who it is that's speaking, one is not permitted to speak about it. And Chazal, the Chavetz Chaim, brings on this, in this circumstance in which you're up against your friends or your boss, or you're up against whatever it is, your parents, the Gemara says, Mutav sheyikra shota achas, kol chayev, it's better to be called a shota, to be called an incompetent person or an unintelligent person for an entire lifetime, rather than to be a wicked person in the eyes of Hashem for even one moment. So when you're sitting in that moment, and it's either they're going to make fun of me, or they're going to laugh at me. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's better that the human being should laugh and make fun their entire life, than for even one moment to have to stand before your Creator, not having done the right thing. And he adds as a source of chizuk, of strength, to be able to withstand those difficult moments when you're surrounded by a group of people who are speaking inappropriately. So the chazal, the sages say that for every moment, called sha'a of the sha'a, every moment that a person is able to keep his mouth shut, even if eventually he caves, but for every moment during the struggle that he was able to keep his mouth shut, he said, I want to say it, I'm not going to say it. And maybe 5 minutes later it burst out because he couldn't contain himself any longer. But for every moment that he was able to, the Gemara says, he is merits the type of reward, literally the Gemara says, the hidden light, the Or HaTzafun, which was created back in the first day of creation, that even the angels can't comprehend, the sages say. The type of reward that awaits somebody who is able to keep his mouth shut during those moments is beyond the angels' comprehension, and I am not aware of any other mitzvah where the sages speak like that. I'm not aware of any other fulfillment of a mitzvah or refraining from doing something where the sages use such a language that for every moment that a person is able to withhold, they merit the reward of this Or HaTzafun, this hidden light which was put away on the very first day of creation. That's just not a way the sages speak. I'm just not familiar with any other place where they talk like that. And it's worth noting that that's how they speak. So you're talking about whether that's inborn or society. However, they understood the challenges that we have, and that's the reward that awaits somebody who is able to withstand that. But moving along, Lashon Hara does not need to be spoken. Does not need to be a spoken word. If a person writes it, it is the exact same laws. You're writing an email and you're just mentioning that which you just had a conversation with so-and-so, or you just had a run-in with this person. Doesn't matter if you're writing it, doesn't matter if you're speaking it, the exact same rules will apply if it's disparaging, if it's damaging, or if it's negative. It is the exact same thing. Similarly, the Chofetz Chaim writes, if you're hinting with one's eyes so that you're communicating something's going on, and you see that it's going on, and you want to let the person over there know that they got to check out what's going on over there, because the person over there is doing something that they shouldn't be doing, or that you want them to know. So even doing something like that, which is getting the attention of somebody else to notice in a disparaging, negative, damaging way what someone else is doing, is also problematic. Even though no word was said, no written word was written, but just the communication was there between me and you, to get that person to look in a negative way. And since the main and final goal of Lashon Hara is making that person look in a negative way, or be presented in a negative way, or disparaging way, so even a hint with one's eye, says the Chofetz Chaim, is a problem. And he adds, lest one think, but what if I just include myself in the activity? Like me and somebody else did something, and it really wasn't appropriate, or we looked really bad, whatever it was. So when I tell the story to person X, I say, me and this person both went and did X, Y, or Z. So you say, what's the big deal? I'm including myself. It's not just that I'm telling you about what they did, and we did it together. It's very nice. You want to make fun of yourself, we could talk about whether or not you're allowed to do that. But you're never allowed to include that person, regardless of the fact that you're putting yourself in it as something that you did. Anytime you are saying anything which is going to make that person look bad, then you're not allowed to do that. It doesn't matter whether or not, again, it's written, spoken, hinted at, or you include yourself in it. In all of those things, is a problem. Now, the Chofetz Chaim also says that you don't have to mention any person's name. If it's clear from the story that you're saying who you are talking about, or it becomes known to the person to whom you are speaking who you are talking about, it doesn't matter that you never said their name. There's no heter, there's no permission to say, well, I didn't say the person's name, the person figured it. Doesn't matter. If you know that I'm speaking about person X, and even though I never mentioned their name, but it becomes clear that that's who I'm speaking about, or even if it's not clear, if you figure it out, at the end of the day, person X doesn't look so great. The reason why they don't look so great is because of what I have shared with you, and therefore I am in violation of Lashon Hara. So one needs to be very careful. It's very easy, and this is something that we all do very often. We just leave out the name and assume that we're okay because, after all, I'm not speaking about anyone in particular. And we forget about the fact that the person to whom we're speaking usually is a friend of ours and usually is somewhat involved in our circle of friends or of life. And usually if you give enough information to make the story good enough, usually they're able to figure out who it is. If that is the circumstance, then that's not allowed. Yeah?
I have another question. Sorry to ask again, but what if you're talking, let's say, to your parents, and you want to relate something that happened, and they have no clue who it's about? Technically, Are you speaking English at all?
Yeah, so then if they have no idea and they never will have any idea, they don't live here, they don't know anything, so then that wouldn't be a problem.
Okay, but then you have to have a purpose for wanting to share it. Because a person should probably not be in the habit of saying things that are negative.
It's true, and there are, again, out of the Chafetz Chaim, he listed 31 things that a person can do wrong. So it could be there's one or two in there that just speaking negatively about another Jew would be, but in the technical term of speaking Lashon Hara, you haven't technically, in other words, that might be another problem. Like maybe there's a thing of Yehaftarecha Kamocha, and just like you wouldn't want me telling my parents about something that you did, even though they don't know who you are.
Why you're telling them is because you need to feel better about it.
All right, so then we'll get into those. Those are reasons we'll talk about next week a lot more. Okay, I don't know yet. That's a good question. I'm gonna. What's that? It usually is because if it's clear who you're speaking about. So that's. The Chafetz Chaim does write explicitly. If it's clear, you say, "Oh my goodness, the Jews of Brooklyn, or the Hasidim, or there." The Chafetz Chaim writes much worse because you are being disparaging to many more people. So that only doesn't make it any better. If it's a group where it's unclear, so I guess it would be the same. If you can't tell, if you don't know who it is, then you don't know who it is. But if it is clear who you're speaking about, then it doesn't make it much worse. He does write that specifically, and it doesn't make it much worse.
Does it have to be a Jewish person?
Yes. Because the first pasuk that I quoted there says, "Loseilech rochil v'amecha," among your people.
So, does that mean it's okay to talk about people who are not Jewish? In a disparaging way? No.
It means there's no prohibition of speaking Lashon Hara. It doesn't mean that it's a good thing or recommended. It just means that there's no prohibition. In other words, there's all the things that the sages speak about, he who speaks Lashon Hara, it wasn't there then.
I read somewhere that if you do talk about people that are not Jewish, then you start talking about them who are Jewish.
Yeah, there certainly would be an appropriate fence to put up. That lead usually leads one another. But let's say you're watching I'm a sports kind of guy as far as my examples, and I'm speaking to a bunch of women. Let's say you're watching a football game and you say, "Oh my goodness, that guy is horrible."
Yeah.
So
make sure he's not there.
So assuming he's not, because if he's on television playing sports making millions of dollars, he's probably not Jewish. But I'm allowed to say that. I'm allowed to say that he's a horrible football player. That's okay, because. Yeah. Okay. So we're gonna have to know that's gonna be in all the exceptions of where we need to do things to protect ourselves or make a statement. Yeah. In other words, 100%. All these things are valid. We first need to just get out the rules, definitions, and. We will get to that. Yeah. That's probably a problem. But that might fall into the category which we'll talk about next week in terms of, let's say you're saying it to a friend and say, "Oh, you don't want to spend your money on this play because the lead actor was horrible," so you're just trying to save them $50 from going to a show and parking and all that. So that might fit into that. If they're planning on going anyway, then you like lose that. Then you're just saying that you don't like them and they're not a good actor, but let their friends figure that out. But that, I would guess, that would probably fit into that. That's a good point. You sometimes have that. In terms of musicians also, bands, you talk about... Well, in other words, you're not saying over what they did. You're saying that... You know, we'll have to talk about... That's a fair thing. We'll talk about whether or not you're allowed, how you're allowed to express... it would be considered damaging if you say, you know, "I don't like this singer," and so people don't go because you expressed your opinion that you thought that he was horrible. So then, what right do you have to damage him? That would for sure be Lashon Hara, even though he's a public figure. You know, we're going to have to talk about that. That's going to be the big discussion next week. Once we get all the definition, well, what do you do when you want, people say, the big question, of course, is always in Shidduchim, and I want to go to a movie, I want to go to a show, what did you think about it? How does that work? And we'll get to all that. planning a wedding, musicians, flowers, all that stuff, caterers. 100%. In other words, there are places and ways in which that's done, and places and ways in which that's not done, and we will get to that.
When do you get to the point of the straight up and where, like, somebody's a bad person, you have to tell them straight up that, you know?
Yeah, we'll get to that. How do you do it? I know that there's going to be a whole body of law of concern and protection. And that we'll need to define. And that's why we're going to do all these different things in terms of the definition, which ones will be permissible, which ones will not be permissible, under what circumstances given that. Okay, letter B is Rechilus. So Rechilus is the word again that we had in the pasuk on the top of the page. It literally means peddling. Now Rechilus is different than Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara again is in which I'm speaking to person A in front of me, and I'm speaking about somebody else. Rechilus is in which I go to person A and I say, do you know what they said about you? They are walking around saying this, 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 and that, or they're doing this, this, and this about you. And that's where the name Rechilus, which means peddling, comes from, which I'm going to one person and I'm telling them all about the things that somebody else said about them. So, for example, let's say you're doing a search for an assistant rabbi. So someone would come to the assistant rabbi and say, you're not going to believe what I heard at this person's Shabbos table. That's Rechilus, in which they're coming back to the person about whom it was said. All that engenders is a lot of ill will between the object of the discussion and the person who is saying the discussion. And you, the person putting them together, saying, let me tell you what he said. It's bad enough that he's saying it. He's violating Lashon Hara. You, who are just a bystander, who then goes and tells the person about whom something negative was said, that's called Rechilus. That is, yeah. And Rechilus?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that. You're not allowed to believe. We'll get to all that, yeah. I mean, first you stop crying, you pick up the pieces.
No,
oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, not for tonight. It's a fine question. But that, I just want to be clear on the different levels of what we're talking about. So again, Lashon Hara is where you're talking about someone else who's not here to this person. And then Rechilus is where you're that monger, that gossip monger, going around telling other people what people are saying about them.
It could be positive, though.
What do you mean it could be positive?
Yeah. Something, this is what I heard about you.
And it's a praise? Oh, yeah, well, then, yeah, that's not Rechilus. Rechilus is where you're sharing that 100%. Rechilus, let me make that clear, the assumption I was making. Yeah, Rechilus is where, not when they come to the assistant rabbi and say, wow, I was at this person's Shabbos table, they love you. That's mutter, that's totally fine. Do that as much as you like. That stuff's good. It's when they...
However, it's not
mutter
if you clearly know that the person you're saying that to does not like that person.
Oh, we'll get to that. We're going to get to that, that's correct, 100%. We're going to get to that tonight already. We're going to get to that tonight. Now, just as an example of this, so the Gemara brings an example that if there's a judge who's sitting with two other judges and we're dealing with a monetary case, so there are three of us, and so let's say it's me and two other people, and I felt that my person A in front of me was... should not have to pay the money. But my other two colleagues decided against him and they made him pay the money. I am not allowed to leave the courtroom and say on the way up, boy, I was for you. Just what can I do? My colleagues didn't work out that way. So I'm not, that's what the Gemara brings the example in which I'm saying something which is, I'm just defending myself and in so doing and making it very obvious that I'm saying something against two other people. That's what the Gemara's example of what would be considered Rechilus, which you're sort of telling one person about what other people did, which in this case is damaging to the judges, that the person should know exactly how it broke down. And in a Jewish court of law, this is totally parenthetical to our discussion, as opposed to in the Senate, where everybody knows, or in American law, you know exactly what the judges voted on. In Jewish law, that is a secret. Once the judges leave their chambers, it's a decision that the court has made. This court has ruled this court has ruled that, and it's forbidden under Rechilus for any one of those judges to say, I really voted for your favor, but what can I do? I lost. It is a court decision as a whole, and one is not permitted to then differentiate and say who did what. All of that is prohibited. Okay, again with Rechilus in B2, the primary and major factor is that which you are reporting is true. They did say at the Shabbos table that you are not qualified for the job. That really was said. So I'm just reporting to you honestly what I heard. They said you're not, that's true. Again, that is where we apply the rule of Rechila. So using that excuse or saying to yourself, but it really happened, that doesn't help. That's where we're talking about, that's the definition of Rechila. Yeah.
So what is the telling that and don't tell
you who said? Right. My first thought is that would be okay, but I'm going to leave that for next week also, whether or not if you leave that out again, it's getting into that ground of where you're not really, if you have to make sure that it doesn't ever come back, but it would seem that then that would be at least okay as far as the field is, because you're not peddling what that person said. You're not creating the ill will between people because you don't know where it came from, and if you're saying it, now again, I would just, this is now my thoughts, I'm not speaking on behalf of the Chavetz Chaim or any of the Sfarim that I saw. If it's in a way, like the example that I gave of a candidate, so it would be helpful for me to hear, just using this example, you know, they're saying that you really don't do very well with people. That's a helpful thing because if you're applying for a position, it's helpful to hear that kind of criticism. If it's the kind of thing where sometimes we don't do that, we don't tell people just because. We're very complex individuals, human beings, and it's not, if you can say to yourself that that's why you're telling a person, because you like the person, you really want them to know the negative things that are being said so that they can correct them, then I would say that's probably okay. But I would be careful to make sure that that's what's going on. Sometimes we like sharing negative things just because we like stirring up the pot. And then it's a different story.
So, I'm just going to say it flat out. I'm in that situation right now. I have found out some things that people are talking about me, which, I don't know if it's true or not, but good friends might have come to me to be like, what do you want to do? So I'm really confused now. It's because, you know, do you go and talk to the person because then does that give them any more ammunition to talk about you? Or do you really feel like they're going to correct the issue? Because I'm hurt. Like, I'm really, really hurt.
Sure, right.
And it's like I would have rather not have known any of it and just kind of gone, you know, dumped on it and let people talk about it.
And we have an example of the prohibition of the chilas, 100%. I mean, that's the prohibition, because nobody wants to know these things. You're asking, like, now what?
Yeah, so now what?
Like, you're asking now what, from your perspective, the one about whom something was said?
Yeah, I supposedly, from what I'm hearing, that I'm the one being talked about.
Right, so that is not...
But do I go and rectify the situation with the people, or does that give them more ammunition to...
So I would say as far as... Hilchos Lashon Hara, nothing, because it's not your problem. Your problem is between the person who spoke about you and the problem who then was the Rochel, who then reported it to you. As far as you're a human being and in pain, what do you do now? So you call your local sister rabbi and say, hey, right here, I have a chance to talk. Well, that's just a regular, that's a life, you know.
That's today.
Yeah. So, but as far as the halachas go, you're the victim, and you haven't done anything wrong. It's the person who spoke to you and the person who spoke about you that need to do some remedying on the situation.
So you should make it clear to those people that I don't want to know, like whatever.
Yeah, in other words, if someone's about to say to you something about what someone else said, 100%, you could say, is this going to help me in some way? Am I going to be able to fix something? Am I going to become a better person? Or is this just going to get me upset and hurt? And I don't want to know it. And that's an easy one to do, because then you're not being some frummy person saying, Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara. You're saying, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want. Lashon Hara is a lot harder to be the one at the table saying, Lashon Hara, I don't want to hear it. That's hard. We've all been there. That's a hard thing to do. But when someone's about to tell you something about what they heard, that's a little easier, because then you could just say, I'm very happy, I got good self-esteem, I'm comfortable, I don't want to know what people are saying about me, and then you spared everybody the problem, because that's a lot, for sure I would tell you to do that, and that's a lot easier to get away with, socially. Okay, category number three is known as Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra literally means bringing out, Motzi means to bring out, a Shemra, a bad name. In English we would call that defamation or slander. This is where it's not true. Anytime you say something that's not true about somebody else, that's under the category of motzei shemra. You are now lying and defaming the person, claiming that they are this, this, or that, and it's not true. They're only this, this, and this. So you might, very often, when a person speaks lashon hara, they get all of them all together. because we like telling stories, and as we tell stories, we embellish a little bit, and we add a little detail here, or we're not exactly accurate here because it sounds so much better. So we often get them both, in which we are saying things which are true about the person, and for that which we are saying which is true, we violated Lashon Hara, and for that part which we're saying which is not true, so then we're in violation of the prohibition of the Torah of Motzi Shem Ra, about defaming a person saying something which is not true. So any one of the previous things that we discussed in any of those circumstances, and any part of it which is not true, is a separate prohibition of Motzi Shem Ra. Now, Chazal, yeah?
On your example, when you're saying someone's cold-hearted or stubborn, that is a subjective part of that. In other words, it's not fact.
Okay. Yeah, in other words, the examples that I chose, some of them would allow for that. Sometimes, yeah. I would guess if it's the kind of thing that if you took a poll of 10 people and you explained the incident, then, you know, 8 out of 10 would say, yeah, that's obnoxious or that's stubborn, isn't it? Then, yeah, that's. Yeah, no. So yeah, but if you want to know which one it is it Motzi Shem Ra or is it, you know, you're going to get on one of them. Okay, moving forward. Category D is Ba'al Le'Lashon Hara. So the sages, and this is worth stating because the sages actually classified a separate category of what's known as a Ba'al Lashon Hara, somebody who is steeped in it. So everything that we've discussed right now is, you know, just one time you slip.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just... I once reported to somebody who is involved regularly at Shabbos tables in which this kind of discussion takes place is in a separate category in which you are a Ba'al Lashon Hara. On you, not you, but on that person, the Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes this, which is in D2, that there are three sins in which a person is punished both in this world and he has no portion in the world to come. And those are the primary sins of idol worship, illicit relations, and murder. And then the Rambam concludes that Lashon Hara is equivalent to all of them. And that's not a person who says it once. That, the Rambam understands, is said on a person who is in this category of a Ba'al Lashon Hara. They are just engaged in it all the time. You know that you're going to get a good juicy piece of information from them. That's what they do. Yeah?
They're consciously, knowingly doing it on purpose. Like, some of us don't realize it, but they realize it.
I know you're trying to make yourself feel better, but...
I mean, you know, from studying halakha, and you read about every single day,
and also... Yeah, it's really more...
That.
Yeah, that.
Well, we all could be in that category.
No, because what you're saying in that category is the person who's doing a tshuva every time. In other words, I did it. I shouldn't have done that. This person, well, you don't have that afterthought. You just, this is what you do. You share good stories. You swap. You're fine. Fine. You have a portion in all of Hava. Please don't worry. Yeah, and that's what the sages are differentiating between those of us who slip. And those of us who are engaged in Lashon Hara. Okay, now one of the most important things that I want to talk about is section E, known as Avak Lashon Hara, which literally means the dust of Lashon Hara. So the sages use this to describe that which isn't exactly Lashon Hara, but it's pretty close to Lashon Hara. And you'll see from the examples, these are really hard to avoid. So, for example, the Gemara has a whole list between the Gemara and the Rambam and the Chafetz Chaim of different types of examples of all the kinds of things which will fit into this category of quasi-Lashon Hara, but it's classified as Lashon Hara nonetheless and is prohibited. So, for example, again, now the general principle that we're using for it is where the results of your words is that someone else either gets hurt, damaged, or is looked at of in a negative way. So, the example the Gemara first brings is the person who walks around town in the market saying, wow, the hosts where I just stayed last night, they were amazing. They were awesome. They provided everything for me. Now, if you do that in a way in which the host is going to be taken advantage of because people in the marketplace in that time were always looking for hosts, so then because of your words, where the host then gets flooded with people and depleted of all their resources, you are in violation of Lashon Hara. You didn't say anything negative or disparagingly against them, but you said something which hurt them and caused them damage. And in so doing, that's considered avak Lashon Hara. That's like the dust. It's the stuff that's on your feet. That type of Lashon Hara. Because you caused somebody pain or damage through your words, even though the words themselves, they were nice. I said a good thing. Yeah, but we all know there are good things and there are good things. And if you say something in a way which is going to cause the person damage, you are also held accountable for that. So I brought a more modern-day example for that. Just one second. Which I would have said something like, oh, they're so nice, they never say no to anything. If you say that to enough people about a certain family, so you know that what's going to happen is when there's a need, everyone's going to go to that, and you know they don't say no. And eventually, if they're a couple or a person or individual who has limited resources, because we all have limited resources, be it energy, time, or money, to go around saying what seems to be such a nice thing, but oh, they go to that, they never say no. It could be, not to go there all the time, but there are circumstances where a person needs to be careful, in which you are putting them in a position in which they are going to eventually be hurt. And the Gemara says you need to be careful about that, that the words that you say, as nice as they may be inherently, are problematic. Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. If I'm thinking that, like, telling someone, go, oh my gosh, that will be there for me, it will be there for me, and then I'm wondering whether or not I should say that, then I'm judging the person who's receiving it as to how they are going to respond.
Okay, my response to that would be, the Gemara says it's about going into the marketplace and saying that so that you know the result is going to be a flooding of guests to that particular host. So Yeah, you're letting everybody know what you found the gold mine. So, in other words, saying to an individual, wow, you know, I was just at this, but they were great, they were so helpful, you can call, that is not going to be a problem. It's in a situation in which you are in an environment where you're doing so and saying, hey everybody, this is where you need to go, and everybody's going to go there. That causes a problem. So it's not as easy as you think to violate. It's something to be sensitive to, that even when you're trying to be nice, you might sometimes be causing the person harm. And there are many circumstances that I'm aware of, that people get overextended, and the more that people say, it's something to be aware of. I wouldn't... Yeah. We'll talk about that next week, whether or not we depend. You know, it's very possible that often there's just no benefit to it. Very often there is. So that'll be for next week, in terms of the benefit that you're getting of why you'd be doing that. Okay, now someone mentioned about saying praise. So number three, speaking excessively about a person's good qualities. If you're being overly excessive about a person's good qualities, what will almost invariably result is that you, the speaker, will either feel the need to quantify that and say, or qualify that by saying, well, you know, except for this, or will cause the listener to say, well, except for that. It's hard to listen to excessive praise of a person when you know and the speaker knows it's like too much already. The natural, the instinct, the response almost is, yeah, but. Or except for this, because it just feels so inaccurate and so disingenuous to hear somebody go on and on and on and on. So the Rambam lists this as within this category of avak lashon hara, and if you're being overly excessive in praise of somebody, in which you are going to cause somebody to then to say something negative in response to all of your positive comments. Praising somebody in front of someone who you know dislikes that person, as Fagus said before. If you know that these people don't get along, so don't start singing their praises. Unless you're planning on being a hero that you're going to make shalom. But outside of that circumstance, you know the kind of response you are going to elicit if, in terms of, you know that this person doesn't like that person, and so when you say, yeah, that person is whatever, you start saying, singing their praises, when it's going to elicit from them is a certain response. So again, I didn't say lashon hara, I didn't say anything wrong, I said something good. And again, the sages would quantify that as saying, well, that's avak lashon hara, which you're not saying lashon hara, but you are the cause of lashon hara being said. Number five, one of my personal favorites, the Rambam lists this one. The Rambam says, if you say something like, wow, who would have ever thought this person would have accomplished that in life?
Oh, great.
So that backhanded kind of comment, that doesn't work. The Rambam lists that as within this category of, I didn't say anything, I said such a nice thing, like, look what he accomplished. When you say it in such a way of, wow, all you're doing is you're bringing up the person's negative past, the low expectations, all the things that they did wrong, whether or not it's actually said or it's just communicated in thought, the person who you're saying that to obviously is aware of why you're saying, wow, I never would have thought that this person would have accomplished any of that. You're just bringing up all of their past shortcomings and negative traits that they've overcome. So the Rambam includes that as well. Similarly, Gemara says, you know, don't speak to me about so-and-so. I don't want to tell you what he did yesterday. So don't talk to me about him, because I know I'm going to end up saying it. So again, so all that I'm left with is, boy, that person really did something bad. Now, I don't know exactly what he did. So Lashon Hara proper, the Gemara says, or the Rambam says in this one, no. But what you've done is you've accomplished the same thing, which that person is left in a negative light, because you're clearly so incapable of even mentioning his name, because you've got so much bad stuff on him, so I can't even talk about him. So you just left the person, so that's a negative thing for that person. So I don't know what he did, but I sure know that he did something. So the Gemara also includes that within this category of Avak Lashon Hara. Yeah? The Gemara says not to, for the reason which we'll get to is letter F. Onaz Dvarim. Yeah, unless there's a specific reason. He's looking for a Shidduch, and then to Kohen, or whatever the reason would be, or some halachic reason. Yeah.
Can we do Tshuva on Lashon
Hara? Yes. Yes. Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that. Okay, now I just want to conclude this section in 2 more minutes. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that most people are suspect of some form of thievery. A minority of people are suspect of immorality, but almost all people are suspect of this category of Avak Lashon Hara. So in essence, it's only possible to be aware that nothing that you say, again, it's one thing to be careful that the words we saying are not inherently filled with negative comments. This category says, but even if the words themselves are not, but they lead to something negative, or they lead cause someone else to say something negative, that's the right thing about it. It's almost impossible for a person not to, on some level, at some point in time, be suspect of that. Let me just quickly finish these last two and finish for tonight. The Gemara has a phrase, the Rishalmi really, Lashon Hara Bitzina, in which the words that you say have nothing to do with the person, nothing negative inherently, but they cause Lashon Hara. An example the Gemara brings is a story of a person named Bar Chovetz. Chovetz was an individual in a Jewish group in which they lived in a certain nation in which the people of that nation, the government forced the people to go out to work for them on certain occasions. So the group in which he was supposed to be and had gone out to work, and he somehow managed to escape. He slept in late, he got out of it, so he wasn't with the group. So the Gemara records that while they were walking with their non-Jewish taskmaster out to wherever they were, into the field, so one Jew says to another, "What's for lunch today?" So the other one responds, "Chuvtza," which was a type of a vegetable. So chuvtza sounds a lot like Bar Chovetz. So the taskmaster said, "Speaking of chuvtza, where's that Bar Chovetz guy?" and went to go get him in trouble. So the Gemara brings that as an example of this, in which you know that you would want, something's going on over here, but you don't say it. I'm speaking of something else. You know, the modern day example would be, you know, you're writing up a list of people who are going to help you run a certain program, and there's a certain person who you ask, and they said, no, it was not a nice thing that they didn't want to participate. So you're sitting at the list, who else can we ask? Who else can you ask? And you say, oh, you know, I just had such a nice meal at the Fornos over Shabbos. It was really great. Hey, why don't we ask? So something like that, in which you're just bringing up the name, having nothing to do with the conversation in hand, but just to bring up the fact that, oh, Mrs. Fischer, she didn't volunteer. So that's the example of in which you really wanted to bring that out, but you didn't want to do it in a mean, negative way, like we just say, you just sort of off the cuff mention a person's name or something similar to the person's name, just to bring out that would be included within what's known as Lashon Hara Bitzina, in which you're not really saying anything negative, but again, you're causing that negative feeling to be brought out, maybe not by you, but by the people around you. And lastly is Onaz Dvarim, which is causing pain with words, which is mentioning to someone about their past, which causes them hurt or discomfort. The classic example, as you mentioned, is the Gemara says, oh, you were a convert, your fathers and grandfathers were this, this, and that, or you yourself were once this, this, and that, or saying to anybody about something that they had done in the past, which when you know when you bring it up, you're just going to be driving in a little needle into their back. That's all. That's considered a nazar. Those are the categories that the sages speak about in terms of the different levels of speech, different types of speech that we can have. Again, tonight was all the negatives, the things that you can't do. Next week in Rosh Hashanah we'll get to the exceptions and the places in which you are allowed to say things and the circumstances in which you have to say certain things. But that's the introduction, the concepts, the categories of things that are now allowed to be said. Yeah.
How do you literally translate
a private or quiet? It's a very under the radar type of Lashon Hara. You're not saying you're speaking about what you're having for lunch, but that brings up to the person who you're with, you know, something like that. Okay, so we'll continue Mitzvah Hashem next week.